My name is Ben Bailey. We're so glad that you've joined us for our broadcast today.
We live in a world that sometimes makes us very uncomfortable. Things occur that cause us great discomfort, and as a result, we desire to go home and be with God. Today we want to think about comfort that is offered for the Christian from above. Comfort for this life that can help us endure the trials and the troubles that we face is so important to the child of God. There are many things in this life that may cause us discomfort. Sin would probably be at the top of that list. When a person's life is plagued with sin, it is uncomfortable for that person to have to carry that burden around. The psalmist said in Psalm 38, verse 4, that sin is a heavy burden that we cannot carry, that drowns us in its uncomfort. Another very uncomfortable feature in this life is the fact that we're all going to face death. The fact that we have loved ones who have died, who are near to us, makes us feel very uncomfortable and uneasy. The fact that one day we're all going to die brings us discomfort in some way. Sickness in this life causes us discomfort as well. When we have to deal with sickness of ourselves or sickness of friends who are very dear to us, when someone gets a dreaded disease like cancer, it causes us great discomfort. The world in which we live in is plagued with immorality. And for the child of God, it's uncomfortable to live in a world like that, where same-sex marriage is often accepted in many places, where people shack up together and marriage is no longer the ideal standard as set out in the Word of God. That makes Christians feel uncomfortable. Worldliness that is all around us and the desire to be like the world brings us great discomfort. But the Christian needs to know that there is comfort offered from above. How do we find comfort in times of trouble like these? What do we do to receive comfort from God? And how can we know that in times of difficulty, we can find peace in these situations? We've got to realize that there is a God of comfort who will help us in times of trouble. One of the most encouraging things that the Christian has to help him in times like these is God, a God who does care for him. I want you to think about the words of 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, where God is likened unto a God of comfort. The Bible says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God." Numerous times in this verse, the word comfort occurs, and it is directly associated with Almighty God. God is the reason that we can have comfort. He offers comfort to us in our difficulties, and in turn, we can help others who are having trouble. And so the fact that there is a God, that God exists, brings us great comfort. The psalmist said in Psalm 14:1 that the fool is the person who says in his heart, "There is no God." The very fact that God exists should bring us great peace in our life. Nature tells us that there is a God. We can look at the world around us and know for sure that there is a God who has made us and who cares for each one of us. I think of the words of Psalm 19 and verse 1. The psalmist said, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork." Night in the night utter speech, day in the day, it shows that God is a creator and that He does care for us. The design that He has given to us in nature and our own bodies shows His intricate care for each one of us. Paul said in the book of Romans, chapter 1, verses 18 through 21, that the invisible attributes of God are clearly seen by the things that He has made. Look around at the world, the change of seasons, the stars in the heavens, the trees, the way nature works so beautifully together, and we can see that God does exist from nature. Acts chapter 14, verse 17 tells us that the changing of the seasons, they're a witness that there is a God and we can know who He is. But not only does nature declare to us that God exists, the Word of God tells us of His ability, of His power, and of His love for each one of us. I think of passages like Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God said, 'Let us make man in our image.'" Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. And thus the Lord God breathed into man the breath of life, and man became a living being. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7 teaches us. And so the Word of God tells us that God exists, that we've been created in His image, and that He gave life to us. We can know that this is a trustworthy book because of the pages of inspiration, or because of the inspiration we find to be true about the Bible. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16 says that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. The Bible is God's inspired Word, and it reveals to us exactly who God is. I think of passages like 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 19 through 21. Holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. The Scriptures were not of their own private interpretation, but as God's Spirit guided them along, so they wrote the words of Almighty God. I love the passage in Psalm 119, verse 160. The Bible says, "The entirety of God's Word is truth." Not only can we know from nature that there is a God, we can know from His Word that He exists, and we can learn who He is. The very fact that we can know God and that we can have a relationship with Him ought to give us great comfort in this life. Listen to what Paul said in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10 as he thought about having a relationship with God. Paul said that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His suffering, being conformed to His death. It brought Paul great comfort in the fact that he could know God and that he could have a relationship with Him. John 17:3 teaches us that this is eternal life, that we may know who God is, that we may have a deep, abiding relationship with Him. You know, concerning the nature of God, there are certain things about His nature that ought to bring us great comfort. The fact that God is an unchanging God, that He does not lie, should comfort us in this life. In Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6, God said these words, "For I am the Lord, I do not change. Therefore you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob." God is reassuring these Israelite people of His unchanging nature. And He says, "I'm God, and by nature I do not change." What a wonderful attribute of God that ought to bring us great comfort. God, when He said it, you can take it to the bank. You can rest assured that that's the way it's going to be. God's not a God who lies to us. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 18 says that it's impossible for God to lie. Titus chapter 1 verse 2 teaches us that we're living in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. And thus God's unchanging nature, the fact that He will not lie to us, cannot lie to us, brings us comfort. Hebrews 13:8 says, "Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever." The Savior that we know is going to stand by our side, and we can trust that He will care for each one of us. The fact that God is a loving God ought to bring us great comfort in this life. How do we know today that God is a great God of love? By the sacrifice that He made of His Son Jesus Christ. John chapter 3 and verse 16 says that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God loved us so much that He gave what? His own Son to die on our behalf. Listen to the words of Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 8. The Bible says, "For scarcely for a righteous man would one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone might even dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for the ungodly." This is the kind of God that we serve, and this is the God who offers us comfort. I think of the great words of 1 John chapter 4 and verse 8. God is love. That ought to bring each of us great comfort to know that God loves me more than I can even begin to imagine, and that He's promised in this life to help me through the difficulties that I have. Another comforting quality of God's nature is that He is a just God. The question is asked in Genesis chapter 18, verse 25, "Will not the God of all the earth do justly or do rightly?" And the answer is a resounding yes. Nahum chapter 1 verse 7 teaches us that God is not one who would acquit the wicked or those who are in sin. God's a just God. When people deserve to be punished, He's going to punish them. When people deserve to be rewarded, He's going to reward them. 1 John 2:25 says this is a great truth that we have, that He has promised us eternal life and He will not go back on that. This is the confidence that Christians can have. And thus I'm reminded of the words of Jesus in John 12 verse 48. Jesus said, "He who rejects Me and does not receive My words, oh, he has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day." Someone says, "Well, how do you find comfort in that?" Here's what's comforting about it. If I'll take the Bible and if I'll live my life by it, if I'll follow its precepts, I can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I'm going to live with God if I obey it. But if those who do not do God's will live in abject rebellion to Him, we can know that they're not going to be saved. There's comfort to be found in a standard to be judged by, the words of our God found in the Bible. Another great attribute of God, or another quality that gives us great comfort, is the fact that God promises in this life to protect and care for us. One of the wonderful things we have as Christians is God's care and His providence for each one of us. The psalmist said in Psalm 23 and verse 4, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Why? You are with me. Your rod and your staff, they do comfort me. We can take comfort in the fact that God, He does care for us. He's promised to take care of us in this life and protect us. And that ought to bring each of us great peace of mind. I want you to think about the encouraging words found in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. The Hebrew writer is writing about the confidence we can have in God, and he says this, "Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For He Himself has said, 'I will never leave you nor forsake you.'" He goes on to say, "So that we may boldly say, 'The Lord is my helper, what shall man do to me?'" God has promised me, and He's promised you, He's promised us, that He's never going to leave us nor forsake us. And friends, that ought to bring us great comfort in this life to know that as I walk down the path of life, God is going to be with me, hand in hand, taking care of me as I follow His will. God is seen in the Bible as one who protects us from Satan and from sin, and He does care for our needs. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 7. We are told that the devil is a very conniving individual. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 11. He is described as being having many wiles. Jesus said in Luke chapter 22 and verse 31, as He realized that Satan was trying to take an active role in Peter's life, He said to Peter, "Simon, Simon, Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith may not falter." And so today, God has promised to protect us from Satan by giving us a plan of salvation and by giving us the Word that we can follow in this life. Hebrews 2 verse 14 teaches us that Jesus has ultimately defeated the devil. Oh, Satan may cause us trouble, and he may cause us minor problems in this life, but we can take comfort in the fact that He, Jesus, through death, overcame him who had the power of death, who is the devil. Yes, the devil has ultimately been defeated by the Savior. And because the devil has been defeated, because Jesus made a perfect sacrifice, we can have the forgiveness of our sin. How does God protect us and care for us? He deals with our greatest problem, the sin problem, through Jesus Christ. You see, the problem we face today, in fact, if we were to sum up all other problems, all the things that bring us discomfort in this life, we could probably trace them back to sin. For Isaiah 59, 1 and 2 says that the Lord's ear is not shortened that it cannot save, or the Lord's arm is not shortened that it cannot save, nor His ear heavy that He cannot hear. But your sins have separated you from your God, and your iniquities have hidden His face from you. What is the problem that causes man and God sometimes to be at enmity? It is the sin that man finds himself in. Romans 3:23 teaches that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Ezekiel commented on this when he said, "The soul who sins shall surely die." Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 4. But here's the good news. Although sin brings great trouble, it separates us from God, Jesus came into this world to cause our sin, or to deal with our sin problems, so that we would not have to bear the guilt and the burden of our sin. I want you to think about John chapter 1, verse 29. As John sees Jesus approaching, he says these words, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Psalm 103, verse 10 says that the Lord has not dealt with us according to our iniquities, nor punished us according to our sins. We haven't got what we deserved. Why? Because Jesus gave His life as a sacrifice for our sins. Matthew 26 and verse 28, Jesus is taking the Passover with His disciples, and He takes the cup, and He says this, "This is the new covenant, the cup of the new covenant in My blood, which was shed for many for the remission of sins." Jesus has dealt with our sin problem by making the once-for-all sacrifice for sin. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 12 says that He, Jesus, after He'd offered one sacrifice for sin forever, sat down at the right hand of Almighty God. Now, friends, as we think about God caring for us and protecting us, one of the things that ought to bring us comfort also is that God has promised to care for our physical needs in this life. There's a beautiful text in Psalm 37, verse 25. David is reminiscing on his life, and he thinks about the care of God, and he says, "There's one thing I've seen. I was young, and now I'm old. Yet I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread." David says righteous people don't stand on a street corner, and the idea is that we don't have to beg for food. That's the practical lesson for us today. The Bible teaches over and over again that God will take care of His children. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19. Paul said, "My God shall supply all your needs in Christ Jesus." Not all your wants, not all your desires, not all your passions, but our needs are going to be provided in this life. I'm reminded of Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. This is the climax which Jesus brings us to as He discusses God's care regarding food, shelter, and clothing. He teaches us this: "Seek first the kingdom of God and all His righteousness," and all these things, what things? Food, shelter, and clothing will be provided for us. And thus we can know that in this life, God has promised to provide for us, protect us, and care for us. But friends, there's also another great comfort that we have in this life. The Word of God brings Christians such great comfort. I want you to stop for just a minute and think about some of the encouraging passages that we find in the Bible. Passages that when we find ourselves maybe struggling with a problem, maybe depressed or discouraged, that we often turn back to. Think of the words of Psalm 119, verse 50. This is such an encouraging passage as it relates to God's Word bringing us comfort. "This is my comfort in my affliction, for your word has given me life." Isn't it wonderful to know that as the psalmist says, in times of great affliction, we can find comfort in the Word of God? Romans chapter 15, verse 4 says that we have comfort through the Scriptures. The Old Testament Scriptures, those that were written aforetime, are written for our learning, that we through patience and hope of the Scriptures, or patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might find hope. Those Scriptures were meant to give us comfort in this life. Think of passages like Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. "I can do all things through Christ," or "through Him who strengthens me." With Jesus on our side, even in the most difficult times in life, we can still overcome and win the victory. This reminds us again of Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 through 6. "Be content," Paul says, or the Hebrew writer says, "with such things as you have. For the Lord has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, so that you may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, what shall man do to me?" Do you remember the last words of Jesus right after He gave the Great Commission? In Matthew chapter 28 and verse 20, Jesus said this, "And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Friends, it brings us great comfort to know that we can do all things through Christ and that God is going to take care of us and He's going to be there with us. Think about beautiful verses about heaven that bring us comfort in this life. John chapter 14, verses 1 through 6, Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you." And then He says this, "I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to Myself, that where I am, there you may be also." What a wonderful teaching it is, and what a wonderful comfort it brings us to know that after this life is over, with all its struggles and trials, I'm going to get to go home and be with God. We're going to get to spend eternity with the Father. Remember Revelation 21, verses 3 and 4. We've been promised a new heavens and a new earth, a place where sorrow and sickness and death and all the things that bring us discomfort in this life will not exist. And thus, Paul would say in 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 18, these encouraging words, "Therefore, comfort one another with these words." We have great comfort found through the Word of God. Think about passages that deal with the child of God and death. These ought to bring us great comfort. Psalm 116, verse 15 teaches us that precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. When a Christian dies, that's not a bad thing. That's a thing that we ought to long for so that we can be with God. Revelation 14, verse 13 says, "Blessed are those who die in the Lord." It's not a bad thing to die as a faithful Christian. Yes, it brings us some discomfort in this life, but we've got to look at it from an eternal standpoint, that God is going to care for us in the here and now. Some of the passages that bring us great comfort in this life are ones like 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4. "He that is in us is greater than he that is in the world." Hebrews 2 verse 14, Jesus has already defeated Satan, and thus today we can have the victory, as Paul would say in 1 Corinthians 15 verse 57, "Thanks be to God who always gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." John would say in 1 John 5 verse 4, "This is the victory we have, even our faith." Faith is the victory that helps us to overcome this world. And so we can find comfort in the Word of the God that we serve. We also find comfort in contentment. Friend, do you want to find real comfort in this life? Be content with such things as we have. Listen to what Paul would say in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 11 regarding comfort. Paul says, "Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content." Paul said, we don't need to be people who are always wanting more, but find contentment, and I can promise you, you'll find comfort. When we can learn to be content with the things we have in this life and not to always be wanting more, we can be happy and we can rejoice in the things that we do have. But friend, when we're always wanting more and we have to always amass more possessions of this life, we'll never find great comfort. Remember the rich young ruler in Mark chapter 10? Here seems to be a man who wanted to have eternal life. But he had one problem. He was very worldly in some ways. He came to Jesus and he said, "Good teacher, what is it that I can do to inherit eternal life?" Because he and Jesus lived under the old law, because both of them lived under the Old Testament, Jesus said, "Keep the commandments." He said, "This I've done from a childhood." And Jesus said, "One thing you lack. Sell all that you have, give to the poor, and come and follow Me." And you know what Mark tells us in Mark chapter 10? The Bible says that the rich young ruler went away sorrowful, for he had many possessions. We need to be content with the things we have in this life, and contentment will help us to be comfortable with our situation in this life. But as we think about finding comfort in this life, another way that Christians can find comfort is through the hope of heaven. If this life were all that there was, if that's all that existed, was the here and now, there would be little to no comfort. Christians would not find comfort today. But the fact that when we die, we can go and be with the Lord, that ought to bring each of us great comfort. It ought to cause our souls to rejoice. I want you to think about Romans 8 and verse 18 again. It's a verse that is very dear to my heart. Paul said, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present world are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." You know what Paul is saying? Paul is saying heaven is going to be worth it all. Hebrews 4 verse 9, "There remains a rest for the people of God." Matthew 25 verse 46, "The righteous will go away into eternal life. Christians often sing songs that remind us of heaven, Paradise Valley, how beautiful heaven must be. Songs like, Heaven Holds All to Me. You know, if we're really going to find comfort in this life, we've got to keep heaven near and dear to our heart. As Paul would say in Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, we've got to look up. Look toward those things which are above. Set your mind on heavenly things, not on things of this earth, for you have died, and your life is hidden with God in Christ Jesus. Friend, do you really have the hope of heaven as your comfort? Do you find comfort in this life, even in the midst of trials? When bad things happen, do you have something to fall back on to bring you peace of mind and to help you through difficult times? If not, then you need to become a child of God. The only way that you'll find real comfort to deal with this life is by becoming a Christian. Jesus teaches us what we must do to be saved. We learn that we must first hear God's Word. The Bible says in Romans 10, verse 17, that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Once I've heard the message, then I've got to believe the message. I've got to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Having believed in Jesus as God's Son, I've got to be willing to change my life, to turn from sin to God. Acts chapter 3, verse 19, we are told to repent and turn again, that our sins might be blotted out. And then we must confess Jesus as the Son of God. For Romans 10:10 says, with the heart, one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And yes, friend, you must be baptized to have your sins washed away. In Acts 22 and verse 16, Saul was told, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. And then and only then can we have the God of all comfort as our comfort today. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. We pray that you will get your life right with God so that you can have true comfort.